immediate but razor-sharp lyrics from Chuck D, the man who was soon to become a hero of mine. Yo Bum Rush the Show was a powerful debut statement for Public Enemy, but it was only the warm-up for the sonic and lyrical firestorm of their follow-up, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, and Fear of a Black Planet, which came right after. With It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Public Enemy rose to an artistic level not seen before in hip-hop and set a standard for musical, lyrical, and image genius that has rarely been achieved by any other artist. Public Enemy dealt with politics and race in a supremely sophisticated yet visceral way, over a backdrop of densely collaged and diverse samples. The tension between melody and dissonance resides not only in the music, but Chuck's lyrics as well. His lyrics are the precise reason I took a deep interest in Black movements, the Black Panther Party, and leaders like Malcolm X. Chuck's ability to turn historical Black figures into superheroes spoke to teenagers everywhere. Fear of a Black Planet once again demonstrated the wizardry of Public Enemy's Bomb Squad production team, with intensely layered tracks like Welcome to the Terradome and Fight the Power, which was the anthem for Spike Lee's masterpiece Do the Right Thing, and has since become a protest anthem for the ages. Public Enemy proved it was possible to reach the bourgeois and rock the boulevard, to make you shake your rump and pump your fist. Those records showed Public Enemy to be one of the most outspoken forces in music, politics, and culture. The influence on their peers was evident in the golden age of hip-hop of the late 80s to mid-90s. It was filled with social commentary, gritty storytelling that some called the CNN of the streets, and others called gangster rap. Public Enemy was not the only creative innovator in the golden age. The sampling laws had not yet been solidified in the late 80s, so there was a wealth of raw material for hip-hop acts and DJs to pull from. A few of the main corollaries I see between punk rock and hip-hop are their shared street roots, a defiance of the status quo, an emphasis on attitude and creativity rather than musical virtuosity. Hip-hop was a new do-it-yourself movement that rewarded those who may not have had traditional music training, but simply had a great ear and could remix, reinterpret, and transform samples from the vast musical universe while also using drum machines, beats, and some live instruments. Musical and narrative progression in hip-hop seemed to be happening on a daily basis in the late 80s, and landmark albums redefining possibilities within the genre were emerging from both New York and the West Coast. New York hip-hop was going off. Eric B. and Rakim dropping Paid in Full, Boogie Down Productions, fronted by KRS-One, put out Criminal Minded and By All Means Necessary. Slick Rick put out The Great Adventures of Slick Rick. LL Cool J crushed several styles with the release of Mama Said Knock You Out. From Long Island, De La Soul brought the sampling masterpiece 3 Feet High and Rising, which pushed the idea of what samples could be used to construct a hip-hop track into a more diverse territory. Fellow members of the Native Tongues Collective, A Tribe Called Quest, released several lyrically witty and musically progressive classic albums during the Golden Age and later put out the amazing album We Got It From Here, Thank You For Your Service in late 2016, proving great artists only get better with time. The West Coast also brought the fire in the late 80s and early 90s with artists like Ice-T and N.W.A. pioneering gangster rap. Ice-T's Rhyme Pays, Power, and OG Original Gangster all brought tales of street crime and hustling, but with some cautionary warnings about the consequences of that lifestyle. N.W.A.'s Straight Outta Compton took confrontation and irreverence to new levels, but according to main lyricist Ice Cube, they were only reflecting the world of South Central that they lived in. N.W.A. may have been controversial with songs like Fuck the Police, but along with antagonism, the members had talent and charisma to back up their attitudes. Cypress Hill brought a Latin flavor, weed culture, and bilingual rhymes into the mix. While East Coast hip-hop acts were sampling a lot of James Brown and a bit of Parliament Funkadelic, West Coast acts were leaning heavily on P-Funk and a little on James Brown. The N.W.A.-related artists like Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, and Snoop Dogg all sampled Parliament Funkadelic, with Dr. Dre credited as pioneering the laid-back but sinister G-Funk sound. I think it's safe to say that the samples used in great hip-hop songs led to a massive surge in interest in the funk and soul artists who were featured prominently. I know that hip-hop inspired me to pick up records by James Brown, The Meters, The Isley Brothers, Parliament Funkadelic, Isaac Hayes, Booker T and the MGs, and many others. In 1989, the Beastie Boys moved to L.A. to record the album Paul's Boutique with production team The Dust Brothers and Matt Dyke. For me, Paul's Boutique is the pinnacle of the art of sampling, with more than 100 samples from across the musical spectrum on the album. Funk, soul, disco, glam rock, punk, reggae.